Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Welcome to the Runner's World podcast with me, Rick Pearson.
Me, Ben Hobson.
And me, Jane Maguire.
Today we're speaking with journalist and mental health campaigner Bryony Gordon. Probably our funniest guest ever.
100%.
It was.
You're in for a treat.
It was
so funny.
It was very, very so funny.
Quite sweary though. Quite sweary.
Yeah, a bit of a warning probably for anyone. You know, there is a little. This will be marked as an explicit episode.
Yeah.
But we'll say it now as well. A bit of effing and jeffing goes on. So yeah, you know, if you're not into that vibe, then I would, you know.
But it's in the kind of.
Oh, it's all done in a very like.
In the right spirit, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. She's not. In the right she's spirit. Not.
Friendly swearing.
Friendly, jovial swears. Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Now, Rick, you weren't with us last week. And me and Jane made some bold claims about your running. So I think it's, without really knowing what we said. Well, all right, we'll enlighten you. Jane thought that you were living a world of regret after not breaking 8 hours for your 50-mile race.
Yeah.
And I said that you had dramatically backtracked on the claim that you were only going to run short distances and you are now officially signed up to the UTMB. So,
well, I think you're both right. So what I'm doing is I'm running around in a hair shirt to punish myself.
Oh, good.
Barefoot and training for the UTMB later this year. No, I was thinking I might have a go at a half marathon actually, because the big half got postponed and so it's now on like 22nd of August. Mm-hmm. So I was like, maybe I really like the half marathon as a distance because I think it doesn't take over your life to the same extent that a marathon does. And the big half, it's, you know what, it's not a great looking route, but it is really quick. So yeah. I was thinking maybe I have a go at that in some of the super shoes because I've sort of, you know, again, I've been a little bit sort of behind the curve on putting a pair of the super shoes on. I'm just thinking maybe I just need to get involved. Do you know what I mean?
So I was really wrong. I said you'd be running barefoot, but you've got...
Yeah, it couldn't
you
be
are
more
full
wrong,
of exactly, surprises, yeah. Rick. Can't predict what this man will do next.
I mean, super shoe Rick and a half marathon is not what we
yeah,
thought.
Yeah, you're going to be
but
like,
there we go.
Yeah, watch this face.
What's your half marathon PB, Rick?
Well, I did run it at the big half, actually. So it's 1:22:40 something.
Right. And what were you wearing on your feet?
Just some normal shoes, Ben.
Just some Clarks.
So basically, do I just need to put on some more shoes and I'll take like
Mate,
2 minutes off?
Just don't even worry about training. Just get some super shoes, yeah. Negate the training and just put some shoes on.
Someone has been coming out, haven't they, recently? A Kenyan marathoner, Laroop, I believe. And she was saying that she thought that people wearing the super shoes is tantamount to doping.
Yeah. It's not a new opinion, serious? But it's quite interesting to have a you know an athlete say it. Because normally athletes, I mean, it's massive generalisation, but it normally goes, well, to be competitive, I have to get on board with it.
Yeah.
So... And that's fair enough, completely. Like if you've trained for a year for an event and you want to be up there doing your best as in relation to everyone else, then yeah, you're going to need a pair of these shoes. But yeah, it's interesting that that's still a hot take within the world of athletics, that it's, you know, cheating. But I don't know. Yeah.
I mean, she's retired. She's maybe it's easier to say what you really think when you've retired. I don't know.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, because you're not in amongst it, I guess. Yeah, that's probably the thing.
Jane, what have you been up to on the running front? How's it? Because you're kind of getting back to full fitness.
I am doing the London Triathlon. So running is all good, like standard kind of ticking over. But I really need to start doing my other training. So I was lucky enough to be near the sea this weekend. And I decided to put my wetsuit on and go swimming in the sea. And I'm quite a confident swimmer, but I don't have any sea smarts. So I, you know, my boyfriend and my puppy were on the beach kind of watching me. And I just swam in the sea like you would in lanes in a pool. So I just went out and I was thinking, bloody hell, this is wild. Like, what is going on? And I turned around and looked back at the beach. I was like, shit, I'm really far out. Like, what's going on here?
Yeah, I think just swimming out, I think you're better off swimming
yeah,
across.
Yeah, well, this
you?
Is the yeah. thing. When I eventually, we're talking like 20 minutes later, got back to the beach, Dave said to me, what are you doing? You meant to swim adjacent to the beach. And I was like, why did no one tell me that before I just paddled out and nearly died? So.
Just an image of you. I did warn all of our listeners last week that you were a confident swimmer.
I am confident,
and they shouldn't worry about you.
Too confident. Yeah. And when I told my mum this story last night, and she was like, Jane, that is mad. That's awful. So, Mum, if you're listening to this, I'm sorry again. Like, I'll never do that again. Swim adjacent to the beach, listeners. But yeah, so my first training swim wasn't really like my whole body aches today. It was more kind of trying to fight the current to survive.
Yeah,
it was more Bear Grylls than triathlon training. but then London, you know, London's not. London Triathlon's not going to be the sea, is it? So it just confirmed that I'm never going to do an Ironman or something where you have to actually swim in the sea.
Yeah, but it's good though. The swim start can be quite hectic. So I think if you've, you know, tested your stress factor with some waves and some strong undercurrents, then you'll be all right with
and
people
no lifeguards,
kicking you in the face.
Because it's May and I was on the dog-friendly beach, not the swimming beach. So, you know, so many errors, but you live and learn, and I'm here to tell the tale, so that's a positive.
But the swimming bit, when you were actually swimming and not worrying about, you know, drowning, was that good?
Oh, yeah, I mean, fine. I mean, I am confident that I can still swim, which is good. I'm not here to break records and go quick, but my lovely coach has set me some really intense-looking swimming plan training. I thought he'd just be like, yeah, go to the pool, but it looks quite like do this at this speed and that at that speed, which I'm a bit worried about, but I will let you all know how I get on once, you know, I pop down to my local leisure center, not the sea.
That's good stuff,
Ben. Beat that mate What have you been up to? That's incredible.
I mean not a lot in terms of, you know, that I've got very little. I've reverted the other way. We've got a treadmill in. As all the gyms have opened and
this is the weather improved,
the weather,
got a treadmill
the weather
in.
Gets better. But you know, part of the job is testing these things out. So a treadmill arrived and I've been doing some treadmill running at home, which
how's it going?
It's all right, actually. It's quite nice to sort of have that bit of kit and the availability of it to be just like there and ready to go.
That's what appeals to me on. I think just to like
it's good. It's like there is like faffing with technology, which I just really bothers me when you're sort of trying to sync things up to make it work properly and it doesn't, and then you have to sort of like restart Bluetooth or whatever it is you need to do. That annoys me because then I'm like, I could just be outside doing this. But when it is seamless and it all just starts working, then yeah, it was great. I've you know, and I've got up and not had to wake anyone up trying to find kit and, you know, banging around in the morning, opening the front door. I can just get downstairs and, you know, start it up. It's quite quiet. Yeah, it's been pretty good. But I've only done like maximum 5 miles on it. And then beyond that, I'm beginning to get like, I'm getting a bit bored. So, but yeah, it's quite good for like little intervals and bits and pieces like that. But yeah. That's about it, really. But if, you know, that's it. No, I won't. If you see me soon, I'll just be sort of a pale, an even more pale shade than I was before as I do all my exercise inside now.
And I'll be really tanned from all that sea swimming I'm doing and spending hours in the water.
Yeah.
Trying to wrestle my way back to shore.
So I've got a suspicion that people don't come to the podcast for our cutting edge news. But we've got some news anyway, haven't we, about the Olympics potentially. Well, Sadiq Khan says he's pledging to try to bring the Olympics back to London if he gets in as mayor, and he tried bringing it in over the next 20 years. My memories of London 2012 were so positive. I thought it was so amazing. Like, it was such a sort of cultural and sporting high point, such a great time to be British. But I don't think it needs to come back to London again for, you know, probably best part of a century. That doesn't kind of feel right. There's other cities in the UK that I think are kind of, we should be shared out a bit more. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think 2012 was just so massive, and the build up and the regeneration of East London and all the bits and pieces that went with it seem like that's what made it so good. I think you're right. I think that that needs to happen somewhere else in the UK, or I don't know. It seems like when something's that good first time round, is it going to be that good again?
Well, I don't know. That's the other thing. I've ever told either of you, but I was a games maker. I helped to make.
I helped make
the games. So as a games maker, I'm all for it. Let's do it again. It was so fun. And
can you be a games maker again, or do you think it's just a one sort of once in a lifetime?
Good question. They didn't arm us with that knowledge when we received our little.
Expecting it to
everyone
come back
received
so soon.
Everyone who made the games, like me, received a little baton at the end with it was a silver baton. It says London 2012. Don't know where it is, but you know, if anyone needs me,
keepsake.
I'm ready. Probably somewhere in my parents' house.
Treasure keepsake. Yeah, for sure.
I'm ready.
Is this one of those sort of promises as well that like. As Sadiq Khan, who I'm a fan of, could have the best intentions in the world, say, I'm going to try and bring it back to London. What if there's no appetite for it coming back? What if they're like, no, it's not coming there.
Oh,
it's
not the Olympics promise again. In some ways. Oh, God. Oh, traffic was awful. No, I think it's, I think it's one of these things that just gets said. But, I mean,
I'm impressed. I didn't know that about Jane, though. She actually made the games.
I helped make the games. Anyone who went to the beach volleyball probably has met me already. I was there all the time. Just working with the army to keep everyone safe.
You and the army, Jane, protecting the masses. That's what we like to hear.
Yeah, there was no events at the beach volleyball, and you can all thank me for that.
There we go.
Right then, should we bring on our guest of the week?
Yes, let's do it.
Guest of the week. Sometimes on the phone, could be an athlete, could be a physio, or a complete unknown.
Our guest of the week is an incredibly funny journalist, author, and mental health campaigner, Bryony Gordon. Alongside writing for The Telegraph and publishing several best-selling books, Bryony is a founder of Mental Health Mates, a peer support group for people with mental health problems, and a veteran of the London Marathon. Bryony, welcome to the Runner's World podcast. How have you found lockdown, Bryony? Have you been a positive thing for you, or have you found it an absolute drag?
it's been a positive thing for anybody. Can I swear? I think it's been fucking awful. I've hated it. Do you know what? I thought I was okay. I thought I'd like, oh, this is fine. And also, initially, at the beginning of it, so this time last year, I was like, I've been planning for this since I was nine. Like, the world was going to end. And I was like, everyone was freaking out. And I was like, I've got this. I told you things were going to go very badly wrong. So I actually was kind of quite chilled about it. And I was like, yeah. And there were bits of me that were quite relieved because I didn't have to, just the opportunity to just be in my house and not have to see people. And I realized the bit of me that was relieved wasn't me. It was like my mental illness. Do you know what I mean? It was like, I have a name for my OCD and my depression and my alcoholism. And I call it Jareth, the Goblin King, after the David Bowie character in Labyrinth.
Fantastic. Yeah.
And,
terrifying.
Because Jareth was like evil, but ever so slightly enticing in his silver trousers. And Jareth had been like, he's disappeared into the recesses of my brain, and then lockdown hit and he was like, he's like, I'm going to get her comfy now at the very front of your brain, Bryony. And, I always say that the thing that all mental health issues have in common is that they work by isolating you. So they lie to you and they tell you that you're a freak and they tell you that you're alone and they tell you that no one's ever going to understand what you're going through. And that just is bullshit. Sorry, I'm going to take my Apple Watch off because it keeps sending me like news alerts. And I'm like, oh, what's happened? Nothing interesting. This is state sanctioned isolation, and I thought I was okay. And I think for the first one I was fine, and the second one schools were open fine, but I really think I think it manipulate, the very situation we're in is sort of manipulating our brains into a depressive state,
yeah.
So I think it's been really hard, and I don't think I've realised how hard it's been until like recently, when I've now things are starting to open up again, and I suddenly realise I've got energy and I want to see people. And in fact, this morning I dropped my daughter off at school, and I bumped into someone, and they were like, "Oh, how are you, Bryony?" And I started crying. But like in happiness, like I was just like, I'm okay, but I don't think I have been. But I think that's the same for lots of people. I think if I'd felt the way I felt in the last 4 months any other time, I would have gone for outside help. But because I knew what it was about, and I haven't. And also I'm very lucky in that I have been able to kind of build up resources and like a toolkit over the years. So I also caveat that by saying I know people have had far worse lockdowns, and I don't, you know, I understand why we've had to have them and stuff like that, but I do think they're very bad for mental health.
Completely. I think we've talked about this a fair old bit, because you have to. And I think that, as you say, you've perhaps developed tools over the years to help cope with these things, but I certainly have not suffered from any form of that. I'm very fortunate in the fact that I've not really had anything that I recognize personally as depression. Yet lockdown, 100%. Like, I was just like, you don't ever realize what's going on until you've kind of there going, oh wow, this is exactly it. Like, I now see, you see what I mean? You can't, it's that, as you say, that's the state breeds that sort of slightly, well, depressive state into you, in that sort of, and even as someone who wouldn't have acknowledged it before, perhaps I was like, wow, this is some place to be in.
And I think that some people, like, I think the dangerous thing comes when you think you're okay in it. And like, I certainly found myself at a point where I was like, no, I'm fine. I don't want to see anyone. I'm fine. I just want to, but then I realized, I wake up every morning and the thought of having like one Zoom call, like me, if this was 3 months ago, I would have been terror and anxiety about it. And oh God, and it would have weighed on me for the whole week. Do you know what I mean? Whereas what's happened this time is, like, you know, because I feel like I've got a bit more energy, I was like, oh yeah, I've got to do a podcast this afternoon. That's great. So I'll get to chat to some people. Yeah. So I'm feeling quite energetic today. Like, you've caught me in a slightly playful mood, but and you know, it could be different tomorrow.
Has running for you been something that you've turned to in lockdown? Because I know a lot of people have kind of come into running, and they've noticed that it's a way to sort of re-energize yourself. Have you done some of that?
Oh yeah. Yeah, it's the only thing I've been able to turn to. Like, what else is there? I mean, I was training for the London Marathon when it hit. So, but you know, it was interesting how very quickly, without something to train for, I was like, oh, I'll just go and do 5K. And I was like, whoa, last week I did 15 miles and now I can't do, you know. There have been times when I've really felt like I was wading through treacle. And also, honestly, I'm like, if I have to run round my local
common,
one more time,
the feeling.
Like 500 times I must have run round Clapham Common. And the other day I was like, I can't fucking do this anymore. I literally felt like I was wading through treacle. So I got in an Uber, and the Uber driver was like, where can I take you to? And I was like, can you take me to Kenwood House in Hampstead Heath, which is like nowhere near where I live? And he was like, oh, what are you doing? And I'm like, I'm going to run back. And he was like, what? What are you doing? And I was like, I'm just going to run back. Like, I just needed to be in a different area. And I was like, oh, I can now go and exercise. So yeah, I got dropped off at Kenwood House, and then I didn't run all the way back. I ran to like Marble Arch. But it was amazing. And so how I realised how much of running is mental. Do you know what I mean? Because I was like, oh, look, a new part of the world. And oh, and there's, you know, and there's Regent's Park and the zoo and da, 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 da. And it just kind of, just the K's kind of ticked by. Whereas in my, you know, I feel like I'm doing like a 5 hour 5K at the moment.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That local loop that you went, I'll just go and do the local loop. Oh, God. Yeah.
Are you someone who runs with other people, or is it something you do mainly on your own?
Oh my God. So I used to only do it on my own. And now I can't do it unless I have my friend Emma with me, basically. So my friend Emma is, she is a mum of triplets, and she also has another child. And she also has secondary breast cancer. She's pretty incredible. And a few years ago, she said to me, oh, could you get me into running? And I was like, yes, of course I can. Like, as if I am, like, Paula Radcliffe or
gateway.
Something.
Yeah.
And we started running because she lives locally. And now she's, like, way ahead of me. She did the virtual London Marathon in October. She's way fitter than me, do you know what I mean? Even though she's, like, in the Marsden every Wednesday for chemotherapy and stuff. But she's, yeah, and we sort of run, but it's as much about the ranting and the raving as it is about the running. So, yeah, we run 3-4 times a week together. She did come with me to Kenwood. I did meet her at Kenwood House. I wasn't just by myself, but yeah. So and that's really integral. I don't really know what I'd do without her. And I do find I'll pull myself out of bed and go by myself and listen to some like music, but it tends to be like my phone will play me like Disney's favorites.
But when it was like you couldn't go with other people, how was that? Because that was, you know, part of lockdown. Or did you?
Did I break lockdown and just go with other people anyway?
But did you? Because I know that, you know, obviously you can bubble with people like that. But I mean, it was a cruel twist that you obviously the running was a real sort of like, oh, wait, we can still exercise outside, thank goodness. But at the same time, like, as you say, people relied so heavily on that community side of it, be it one person or park run as a massive event or something like that. Like the sort of, it was a sort of double-edged sword of great, I can still run, but it's not going to be as therapeutic as it always has been.
I also think that first lockdown, when you couldn't run with anyone else, was also people were very, very there was a sort of anxiety about
for
runners,
sure.
You know?
Yeah.
And I myself would get really annoyed when someone would come like, you know, we didn't know enough. We still don't know that much. But I remember being very aware, and I carried on running because I was like, I need to get out of the house, like by myself. Like actually being by myself was quite nice when you've got a small child. I love my small child, don't get me wrong, but you know, you need that space. But I was kind of that person that was kind of throwing themselves into a hedge because I didn't want to be in anyone's way, do you know what I mean? And I can't, you know, I've not stopped the whole time running. Like, that's been really important to me. And I think because it is a way, it was a way to kind of like change the scenery. You know, I've been in this bedroom for a year now.
Can we
now.
Talk about how you started running? Is it true it all kind of came about through talking to the royal family? Is this true?
I mean, sort of, yeah. And I had run before. I don't only do things. Like, I'm not like the biggest monarchist, and I'm like, I'll only do something if the royal family tell me to do it, you know.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, So I had started doing a bit of running. So I have a history of obsessive compulsive disorder and depression, and I'd written about that, and I'd set up this walking group called Mental Health Mates 5 years ago, which encourages people to get out of the house and come together. Because we know, you know, we hear all the time about exercise being, you know, really good for your mental health, but there didn't seem to me to be any way in which people could come together in the same way you could for, you know, to play football, or I always saw people doing, yeah, park run or military fitness or something. But I was like, where is the thing for, you know, people with mental health issues? So I set up Mental Health Mates, and I got invited to the launch of Heads Together in 2016, May 2016. And I'd literally set up Mental Health Mates in the January, but I'd been writing a lot about my own mental health. Anyway, I got invited to the launch, and it was at the Olympic Park, and I think they just announced that Heads Together was going to be the official charity of the London Marathon 2017. Anyway, and I was introduced to the Duchess of Cambridge, and I can't remember exactly what happened, but I was like, oh, are you going to run the marathon? And she was like, oh, I can't because security. It's a bit difficult to like secure. But I was like, yeah, sure, good excuse. I was like, if I can do it, anyone can. I was like, I don't know why I just said I could do a marathon. I can't run for a bus. Do you know what I mean? Like, I could eat a marathon, but I couldn't like run one. And she was like, oh, are you going to do the marathon? And then the guy from his kid was like, yeah, why don't you do the marathon? I was like, I guess I'm going to do the marathon. So I signed up, and like, it was a real revelation to me. You know, like running. So like, I don't know, like I'd tried all of these combinations of things to try and deal with my mental health, like alcohol, illegal drugs. And I was getting to the stage in my life then where I was realizing that they weren't working. And in fact, they were making my mental health a lot worse.
Yeah.
Who knew? And I was like, maybe the experts are right. Maybe doing some exercise would be good for my mental health. But of course, I, like most people, most women in this country, was sort of scarred from being brought up in a world where exercise primarily was a form of punishment, you know, and also MP, yeah, where it was always about making yourself smaller, you know. It was always about losing inches around my waist and all of the rest of it. And I just thought, because I'm not fast, I'm not strong, I'm not any of that, I can't do it. But it's a bit like saying to someone, you know, I always think this, if you don't have a Michelin star, you're not allowed to cook.
Yeah.
You know, like we wouldn't ever say that, you know. And so I was like, I'll have a go at this. I'll see if I can do it. And it's raising money for a mental health charity. And the moment that I started exercising, because of course I'd run before, but I did like the Great South Run, like I'd done that like 7 years before, but it was like it wasn't, you know, I never kind of managed to get into it because it always became about, oh, I'm not fast enough, I'm not da 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 da, or I just want to go to the pub and get fucked up. And I was like, I guess the moment that I started doing it for the way it made me feel rather than the way it made me look, something really changed in me. And that first marathon was like, I don't know, like, every week I realized my body could do a little bit more than I thought it could the week before, and it felt like magic. And then you'd get to that stage in like a long training run where you felt amazing, and I was like, wow, I've done that myself with my own feet, and I haven't had to go to the pub or something else, you know. And so when I started running and when I did my first marathon, I was in active alcoholism still, do you know what I mean? But I was what you would call, you know, what we call a high functioning alcoholic, and that I could hide it. But I was just about falling apart. And the marathon was just this incredible experience, and I loved it. And I think I saw like this opportunity of my life could be, you know, it was like, oh, I can do this. I can live this life where, yeah, and I don't think it's like I went into rehab quite soon after that first marathon. And it was interesting because I did another marathon in my first year of sobriety with my friend Jada in our underwear to kind of prove that people of all shapes and sizes can do it. And I remember thinking, oh, this one's going to be like much easier than the first one because I haven't drunk, I'm much healthier. And it was so much harder. And I realized the force of alcohol. Like, I had got to that finish line in the first one because at the end of it was like a bender, because I hadn't, obviously, I'd stopped myself from drinking for the week before. And you may think, well, you can't have been an alcoholic then, but it was like the biggest, it was such a struggle. Like, it was such a struggle. And I was like, just do the marathon, do the marathon, do the marathon, and get to the end of it. And I went on a bender. But I realized the kind of force of alcohol then, that it could literally get me through 26.2 miles, you know, running for the pint of beer at the end. And And yeah, and the second one, obviously I didn't have the beer at the end of it, and I was like, what have I got to look forward to?
Like a free Lucozade or something, just a Lucozade, isn't it?
Yeah, like another gel, how exciting.
Gel. High on those gels. But, so yeah, so that was interesting for me. So it has been a real kind of, it's been a learning curve, I suppose.
Did running kind of show you a side of your personality that you were surprised by, and did you learn anything through?
Well, I learned that I was a lot tougher than I thought I was. You know, because I always thought I was a bit weak and just sort of gave up at everything. But I, you know, like there I was. I remember being at like mile 20 or something, and being like, "Will there ever be a time that I'm not running this marathon?" Yeah. And I was like, "Get on with it." And I remember being like, Bryony, you've had worse things than this. You've got through worse things than this. You know what I mean? This is a joy. There are people like shouting your name and handing you out sweets. Like, get on with it. Get the fuck on with it. And I think also, you know, it helped me when I went to rehab a few months later. I was like, you know, I very much treated it like a marathon. You know, like you have the, you know what I mean? And every time I thought I'd hit a wall, I was like, just keep going. You've got to just carry on. You know, you just got to keep doing it, because what else is there? You've got to get to the end. Not that there is an end in sobriety, but, you know, but it was like, you just keep going. And I was amazed by what my body could do. I didn't have the confidence in it, or, and you know, now I look back and think, wow, I'm so lucky to be alive, you know, because I was in a really bad way in that last year and of my drinking. And wow, my body's amazing. You know, I was like, wow, yeah. I completed a marathon. And then, you know, I just, it brought a new sort of, gave me a new respect for me, I guess.
Definitely. Yeah, definitely.
You mentioned doing it in your underwear, your second one. Were you surprised at how empowering lots of women found that? Or were you? Did it sort of blow you away into the reaction? Or did you get the reaction you expected?
Obviously, this was going to happen. No, it did blow me away. It was quite overwhelming. Like, I don't think I'd sort of... I don't think I'd factored in how overwhelming it was. It was amazing. Like, it was absolutely amazing. Not a single negative comment, which is quite unusual. And I remember we'd gone on Good Morning Britain a couple of days before, and just there were people that had come down especially to cheer us on with like banners, you know. And it was really lovely. And of course, it was like the hottest London marathon on record.
Oh, God,
so in the end,
yeah,
it was like, yeah. I didn't feel, I was quite like relieved, but it was very hard because of the heat. But yeah, it was fun. Yeah, I didn't feel self-conscious at all, which is weird, really.
Yeah, it's amazing.
There's probably some very underdressed people during that race. So I think
I thought
all right.
To myself, like, the elites, they go off running with that kind of outfit on. I'm like, why can't I? You know?
Yeah.
And the elites, it's easy. They get out there and they're done in 2.5 hours. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm a real elite. I was out there for, like, I don't know, 6.5 hours. In the heart. I'm like, you can take some lessons from me. They'd had their feet up for ages.
Well, Eliud Kipchoge is a big fan of the show, actually, so I'm sure
I thought you were going to say he's a big fan of you. Yeah, well, you know.
Well, he's a big fan of underwear, is that what you're saying, Rick?
If he wants any tips.
We'll let him know.
We'll put party details on.
Like, I watch him. What a dude. But for me, running has very much been about, my husband is... goes off on a Saturday and runs like 30k or whatever, and he's like, oh, look at this, look at my splits. And I'm like, I could not give a fucking shit about your splits.
Like, get away from me.
What do you want, a medal? He's like, I do, actually. Yeah.
This is the Runner's World podcast.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promote for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I probably walk quicker than I run. You know, that was for me as well. It was that thing of like, it's not about pace. It's just about being out there and enjoying myself. And I am slow because I'm a curvy woman with huge boobs. And like that, you know, like when I'd see like a man like a past me, I'd be like, well, he's not carrying around like two like beach balls on his front. So I'm like that. I'm like gangling the camera. You know, I enjoy it. But I have to tell you, I'm having to cheat on running a bit.
Oh, what? Have you started doing cycling or something?
No, never cycling.
For you.
I've started doing a bit of swimming because I think this is terrible, but I've got a bit of plantar fasciitis.
Are you outdoor swimming then?
I have done some. Well, you can't do. Can you do indoor swimming? Yeah,
you're right. You can't do it. Yeah.
I'm still running. I don't think I should be, but I'm like, no, because it's really bad when you wake up, but then once you get on it, it's like it's fine. I'm like, come on! I'm trying to be a bit more sensible. Obviously, I would like to do the London Marathon this year.
Yeah, plenty of rest, lots of swimming. Yeah. We're all fans of swimming. Don't worry, you're speaking to the right audience. We all enjoy a bit of cross training, as I think is the technical term, but basically just doing other stuff, which is very important.
And I feel like swimming because I'm like, oh, it's really cold. I don't feel that I'm sweating or anything like that. I'm like, this is weird. I'm just like, sorry, I've realised that this is a podcast. So when I do, I'm doing like loads of hand motions.
Brian is swimming in the air for all our listeners.
So are you going to do the Vitality London 10,000 then? Are you signed up to do this?
Yes, I am going to do it. Yeah, I'll do it. If I have to walk it with my plantar fasci, whatever it is, I'll do that. You know, there's no, that's fine. When's that? It's May, isn't it?
It's May, yeah, end of May. So Celebrate You is, for anyone who's not familiar with it, it's about celebrating runners of all shapes and sizes and abilities, right? That's the idea behind it.
Yeah, that was so. When we did the London Marathon in Narrowdale, the response was amazing, and we got together with the lovely Penny at London Marathon Events, and she was like, "How can we like carry this on?" And we kind of threw some ideas around, and you know, a marathon's a long way to go, and it's a massive commitment, and we really wanted to get people that might not, you know, want to do that, or you know, it's about bringing in novice runners and encouraging them to get into it. So we were like, why don't we try and do the same with the Vitality 10K. So in 2019 we had 1,000 women running it in their underwear. Unfortunately 2019 was the last year there was an actual race. So last year we did it virtually, and so me and five of the other girls, we went, Jada, we did run with some underwear. Obviously we run with underwear on because otherwise it would be like, But we did it virtually. And then this year it will be virtual again. But you don't have to, you don't, like, we also realised that it's quite, like, a big thing to just, like, also doing it virtually, there was safety in numbers, do you know what I mean, with the, so it's not, you don't have to run it in your underwear, you can just run it. But the whole point is about getting people that, you know, it's just getting, it's about, it's really about exercising for your mental health as well as your physical health. You know, it's that tagline is run for your heart, for your head and your heart. And so, yeah, that's, it's a lovely thing. And we really wanted it to become like one of the first events that is about, that really hammers home the importance of running for your mental health. Do you know what I mean? And eventually one day I'd like there to be a kind of 10K or even a half marathon or whatever, like the mental half, I'm going to call it, okay? Mm. Yeah. So if anyone's listening and wants to do this, hit me up, okay? And it's, yeah, you know, it's entirely for mental health and it raises money for mental health charities. And you don't get, like, you don't have pacers or anything. Instead, you'll have people who'll be holding up things like, run here if you come to, you know, run with me if you're nervous, or run with me if you want to, you know, like, you know, you're... And it won't be timed.
Yeah.
Although I think I'd like struggle. You'd probably struggle to like find a place that would be, you know, the way you could shut the roads for long enough. But you know, I think where it's not about your time, it's just about taking part and getting on with it. And I think that would be great.
Yeah,
yeah, agree. Yeah,
if anyone, yeah. I think that would be great. I think it's so. A really good idea.
Everyone, any event organisers out there, get in touch. Podcast at runaswell.co.uk. Email
us. Like a year, I'm like, oh guys, Rick, Ben, and Jane.
About that.
Idea you stole from me.
Copyright.
But I think this is what I mean. With lockdown and there being no racing, I think that that's how everyone has found running to be. I think that running has suddenly changed for a lot of people who were probably time driven before and were probably very serious about getting, you know, a certain time for a certain race, and then all of a sudden they can't race, so they're just going out for their runs, and then they realize that running has been probably keeping them going in the background, that it just, but they never really looked at it in that way, and then all of a sudden it's like, wow, this has been doing me so much good that I didn't realize,
you know,
like, also
time. I don't want to do down people that do care about their times and all of that, because there's, you know, there's something for everything, but I want, yeah, you know, and I guess people listening to this podcast are those runners who, you know, who perhaps, maybe they're not. I don't know. Like, who knows?
It's quite a broad, yeah, it's quite broad range. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Hopefully. I hope we've got a mix.
I remember when I started training for my first marathon, I was like buying Runner's World each month. I was like sitting in the bath, like, yeah, hill sprints. Yeah, come on. I was like, it was like I was doing method acting. I was like, come on, get into it, Bridie. Yeah,
if I read this enough, it'll work.
You know, anyone can run who is lucky enough to have the use of their legs. Do you know what I mean? And you know, it doesn't, you just don't have to, you know, or I'm no good at it. I'm like, there isn't, you know, it isn't about, it's just about getting out there and enjoying it. And, you know, if I put you in a field full of like marauding cows, you'd run. Do you know what I mean? Or, yeah, you know, I don't know. So it's like, you know, we can all do it. It's just, you know, it's, I think sometimes the person that gets, you know, in our way is ourselves. And I think we also, I certainly had this thing that if I was going to go out and run, like, and I wrote a whole book about this called Eat, Drink, Run, which was like, how, you know, I just thought people were going to laugh at me and be like, go to Burger King, that's where you belong. And the thing I've learned is that the running community is not like that at all, you know. And no one is really looking at you. Everyone's just out there doing their own thing for their own reasons, you know. And if anyone does think anything when they see you running, it's like, good on you, you know, get on with it.
Yeah, for sure.
I do get the odd bit of criticism from someone because I am a larger lady. I do often get emails from people saying, you know, what are you doing? Your knees are going to give in. And, you know, if you don't lose weight, you're going to get diabetes. And I'm like, I don't understand why you're emailing me, because I'm like, I'm out there exercising 3 or 4 times a week. Like, what is it you're doing here? Like, what do you want?
Do you want?
Like, yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like,
also, unless that message is from like doctor whoever professional person of medicine, like not well,
Big Dave
on Twitter,
the likes of Big Dave. Like I remember just before my first marathon, someone they'd gone and photocopied printouts, so they'd obviously gone to the like local library and found news cuttings of all of the people that had like died running marathons, and they'd photocopied them and then they posted them to me and were like, this is, and you know, I just thought, wow, what is it about larger people exercising that people find, well, what is it just about larger people full stop that people find so offensive? You know, like I have just as much right to be out there doing exercise as anyone else, just because I'm not breaking records, or, you know, for me, it's not about being the fastest or the strongest. It's about being the most content, you know, and being able to breathe sometimes, you know. For me, it's just that, you know, when everything seems too much, and I hope that in some small way, I, you know, fly the flag for larger people and, you know, the benefits of exercise. And I think it's really important. It's such a crucial thing for our well-being. And so when anyone tries to sort of discourage me from it, I just think, get in the sea.
Bryony, thanks so much for coming on the Run As Well podcast. It was amazingly entertaining and enjoyable to speak with you, so thank you.
Yeah, so fun.
Thanks for having me. I'm sorry I couldn't give you any tips on how to run faster.
So that brings us to the end of this week's Run As Well podcast. Thanks very much to our guest, Bryony Gordon, and to you, of course, for listening.
You can subscribe to 3 issues of Runner's World for just £5. Head to hearstmagazines.co.uk/runnerswellpodcast to get this exclusive listener offer.
The Run As Well podcast is available on Acast, iTunes, and all your favourite podcast apps. Just search Runner's World UK and click subscribe. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you again next week.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.